Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
After a week at Dow Diamond, the Quad Cities River Bandits are a little bit closer to home as they're at Dozer Park in Peoria, Illinois for Game 1 of their six-game series against the Peoria Chiefs, the High A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Hi again, everybody. Kyle Kirchvill joining here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from this evening, thrilled to have you along with us for game number 69 of the Bandits 2024 campaign and the series opener against the Peoria Chiefs. Well, the Bandits tripped to Midland last week, the first half of a two-week road trip. Quad Cities played six games against the Loons, including the doubleheader on Sunday. And now this week, six games against the Chiefs before heading back home on Monday to open up a small three-game series at Modern Woodman Park against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. It's one of the more bizarre periods of the River Bandits' schedule, but this week they're here at Dozer Park for, believe it or not, the first time this year. It's only their season's second series against the Peoria Chiefs, a team that's just 77 miles away from Davenport. The Bandits, though, come into this week on a really high note. The Bandits snapped a lost series streak, so to speak, of seven, and taking four out of six games against the Loons last week in Midland, the Bandits picked up their first series win since a set victory against South Bend back on April 28th. Quad Cities back into the win column more times than not last week, and they had themselves a very good series against the Dodgers High A affiliate. The Bandits wrapped up the first half on a three-game win streak. Those were the first three games of the series against Great Lakes. And then on the 21st, their series opener, or rather their second half opener, rained out. The Bandits would play their regularly scheduled game on Saturday for what became the second half opener, and then the doubleheader on Sunday. Quad Cities won one of those two games, and that's all they needed to pick up the series victory. The game they won was the first half of the Twin Bill, a 7-1 triumph, fueled by a good start from Ben Kuderna. The young right-hander didn't have his best stuff. He walked four in five innings, but only gave up one run with two hits and also picked up three strikeouts. The bats lifted Quad Cities to the victory. They got a home run from Carter Jensen in the ball game, and also RBI hits from Brett Squires, Chris Brito, Carson Rockefort, and Gene Ramirez. Gene had himself a multi-hit ball game for the third time this year. So Bandits won game one, 7-1. Game two, much different. A contest that featured an extra eighth inning, but only five total hits and only one run. And that was the eventual game winner in the bottom of the eighth. And it wasn't a walk-off home run. It wasn't a ringing game-winning double. No, it was a walk-off drop third strike with two outs and runners at every base. Chase Wallace struck out Kyle Niven, but the ball glanced off the glove of Omar Hernandez and went to the backstop, allowing Junior Garcia, the placed runner, to score, and Great Lakes walked it off 1-0. Technically an extra inning loss for Quad Cities, their fourth in seven extra inning games this year, but for the second time this summer, it was that weird extra eighth inning that's played as part of a doubleheader. So the Bandits in that game, only three total hits. Two of them belonged to Jack Pineda, who came away with multi-hit efforts in each of the two games in the doubleheader. Not much else to speak of for Quad Cities offensively. That said, on the mound, they got another good start, and this one was courtesy of Oscar Rayo, who is making his 12th appearance of the year, but just his second start. And he looked comfortable, like he'd been in the rotation all season. He dished out five scoreless innings, allowed just three base runners, and struck out five. And with that effort, Rayo has now thrown 12 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless innings since the month of June, and he has lowered his ERA on the season down below two. It's just been a terrific first year in high A for Rayo. After him, Ben Sears threw two scoreless innings, and then Chase Wallace pitched two-thirds before giving up the unearned run on the drop third strike. So even though their week in Midland ended on a sour note, Quad Cities overall had themselves a good series. They will enter this week against Peoria 1-2 in the second half, 31-37 overall. Peoria also 1-2 in the second half. They are just 27-41 here in 2024. Let's go ahead and get to the starting lineups for both teams as we continue through the River Bandits pregame show. First, for the Peoria Chiefs, the high A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals, they are managed by Patrick Anderson for the third straight season. Leading off, it's the center fielder, Juan Bincho. Dakota Harris will bat second and play short. And batting third, it's the catcher, Leonardo Bernal. Chris Rotondo will bat fourth. He's the right fielder. Alex Iadesurnia bats fifth and plays left field. And batting sixth, playing against the River Bandits for the first time in his career, the third baseman, Michael Curiali. Osvaldo Tovalin bats seventh. Trey Richardson hits eighth and plays second. And batting ninth, the DH, Joshua Baez. Inohan Paniagua gets the start against Quad Cities. He is a familiar face. He's been with Peoria each of the last 3 years and makes his sixth career start against Quad Cities on the year. The right-hander is 5-4 with a 3.64 ERA. Now the starting lineup for the Quad Cities River Bandits, the high A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals, their card put together by skipper Brooks Conrad, who is also in his third year at the helm. Leading off, it's the third baseman Jack Pineda. Jared Dickey will hit second for the first time this season and play right field. And batting third, it's the catcher Carter Jensen. Trevor Werner's your cleanup hitter. He'll play first base. Carson Rockeford bats fifth and plays center field. And batting sixth, it's the left fielder Spencer Nivens. Batting seventh, it's the River Bandits shortstop, Dustin Dickerson. Chris Brito will bat eighth and serve as the DH. And batting ninth, the right-handed hitting second baseman, Justin Johnson. On the mound for the River Bandits, it's the former Duke Blue Devil and the Royals' number 27 prospect per MLB Pipeline, the right-hander Henry Williams, who will toe the rubber for the 12th time this season and for the 11th time in a starting capacity. The only time he didn't pitch as a starter was April 20th against Peoria at Modern Woodman Park. Williams gave up just one run in four innings with three strikeouts and is having himself a good first full season as a member of the Royals organization. Remember, he was originally a Padres product drafted by San Diego in the third round back in 2022, but he was traded in the Scott Barlow deal in 2023. This season, his first as a full-time member of Kansas City's minor league system. He is 2-2 with a 4.50 ERA in 11 total appearances. Time to close down the River Bandits pregame show because the national anthem is coming up next. After that, we've got First Pitch live on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Tuesday night action coming your way next. River Bandits Baseball is back on the air for the first time this season at Dozer Park in Peoria, Illinois, as Quad Cities opens up a six-game series against the Chiefs, the High A affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Once again, good Tuesday evening, everybody. Kyle Kirchwell welcoming you back to the 69th edition of River Bandits Baseball. Wherever you may be tuned in from, thank you so much for joining us. It's the series opener between two teams that are quite familiar with each other, being just 77 miles separated from Davenport to Peoria. Quad Cities looking to get off to another good start this week. They won three straight against the Great Lakes Loons to open last week's series in Midland. They're looking to make it back-to-back series wins for the first time since April. Inohan Paniagua, the 24-year-old right-hander for the Chiefs, stands in their way. He stands at 6'1", 170 pounds on the mound, and is a native of Bonao in the Dominican Republic. Paniagua has spent parts of the last three seasons with Peoria, and this is his sixth career start against the River Bandits. He appeared against Quad Cities during a doubleheader in Davenport back on April 17th, and he struggled, giving up seven runs, six earned in four and a third. The Bandits handed him the loss that day, and they'll look to keep that up now at his home ballpark. Jack Pineda, Jared Dickey, Carter Jensen, the first three to greet him today. Pineda's in the box, first pitch is on the way, and it's grounded over to first. A backhand pickup by Osvaldo Tovalin. He will flip to Paniagua covering, and Pineda is retired on the game's first pitch. First pitch temperature today is going to clock in at 84 degrees with overcast skies, but at this point I'd say mostly sunny. A little bit of a breeze was blowing out to left field during batting practice, but that has subsided a bit, and it's rather calm as we get started tonight. Jared Dickey now steps into the box for Quad Cities. Paniagua will get a new baseball from his catcher, Leonardo Bernal. Standing behind him, the home plate umpire, Travis Robertson, while Evan Anderson is his partner patrolling the base paths. Here's the first pitch to Dickey. It's a called strike at the knees, nothing and one. The four-pitch mix for Paniagua, fastball, sinker, curveball, changeup. His second offering is line drive towards right field. Rotondo back, looking, and he tumbles over near the warning track. The sun got in his eyes. Dickey on his way to second base. Rotondo now getting the ball in. He goes for third. The relay will not get him. The tag is late, and Dickey's likely going to have himself a double with an extra 90 feet on an air. Not exactly sure what happened in right field, at least not initially. Clearly, Rotondo lost the ball in the sunshine as it sets over the third base side at Dozer Park. But then, once he retreated to pick up the ball off the warning track, it took him a couple of tries. And Quad Cities has the potential game-first run at third base with one out and Carter Jensen to the plate. First pitch breaking ball finds the outer half for a called strike one. Jared Dickey has been swinging it super well for Quad Cities. That's going to be a six-game hit streak for him now. 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. That one fell off the table on the outer half. No balls, two strikes. While Dickey has been swinging it well lately, Jensen has been uncharacteristically struggling. He is still hitting .279 on the year, but in the month of June, only .213. Chiefs have the infield in, protecting against Dickey at third base. Paniagua into the stretch, of course. Here's his 0-2 to Jensen. Check swing, pitch high and away with a fastball, and no appeal. It's ball one. Quad Cities is in the road gray jerseys for the series opener with Quad Cities across the chest, the blue and black trim and numbering with the black and blue two state caps. 1-2 pitch to Jensen. Also missed outside. It's ball two. For the Chiefs, it's their Copa night. They are rebranded as Los Perros Bomberos. Some awesome bright pink jerseys with neon green sleeves. Paniagua's 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball tapped foul towards the first base dugout, and we'll do it again. By the way, the official first pitch time today, 6:35. Jack Pineda grounded out on the very first offering of the game. Quad Cities, though, has Jared Dickey at third base with one out. Jensen battling in a 2-2 count. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him on a breaking ball. And that's the second out here in the top of the first inning. So after giving up the double, Paniagua responds with a strikeout. And now it will take some two-out offense from the Bandits' cleanup man tonight, the first baseman Trevor Werner. Normally you can expect to see Trevor at the other corner infield position, but he's filling in for Brett Squires this evening. First pitch. Breaking ball, down and away for ball one. This is Werner's sixth career start at first base, a position he had never played at any level prior to this season with Quad Cities. Never even got a chance there to play at Texas A&M. Paniagua's 1-0 pitch. Another breaking ball, and it's a called strike on the inner half, 1-1. Werner is still scuffling at the plate, batting only .154 in his first season with Quad Cities, but he has mixed in five homers and driven in 20 runs, a potential 21st standing at third. 1-1. Low and outside, a fastball just missed. And it's a hitter's count for Werner. Two balls and one strike. I mentioned the sun setting over the third base side of the ballpark. That is shaded home plate, while the mound Paniagua stands atop of is still in the sunlight. 2-1 pitch. Called strike, low inside corner. And Paniagua's worked the count back to 2-2. Jared Dickey reached on a one-out double that Chris Rotondo lost in the sun, and as he struggled to pick the ball up off the warning track, Dickey moved up to third, but he has not budged since then. Right-hander's 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball, got him swinging for strike three. Back-to-back K's to end the inning for Paniagua, and Quad Cities fails to convert on the one-out extra base hit. We're scoreless through one-half inning. Bottom of one next as Henry Williams will toe the mound at Dozier Park for the first time in his young career. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Bottom of the first getting underway here at Dozier Park. Quad Cities and Peoria doing battle at the home of the Chiefs for the first time this season. Quad Cities starting pitcher for this series opener, the 22-year-old right-hander from Greenwich, Connecticut, Henry Williams. He is getting the start for the 11th time this season. It's his 12th appearance of 2024. Top third of the order for Peoria, Juan Bincho, Dakota Harris, and Leonardo Bernal. Two of those three guys, top 30 prospects in the Cardinals organization per MLB Pipeline. And one of those is Juan Bincho. Left-handed hitting center fielder is in the box, ready to go. The Bandits shift towards right, playing him to pull. Williams' first pitch, a called strike in the low outside corner. Third baseman Jack Pineda is even with the bag as pretty much the lone infielder on the left side of second. Here comes the 0-1. Low and outside, 1-1. Of course, by rule these days, you have to have two infielders on each side of second base. Dickerson technically is, but he is shaded way up the middle as the shortstop. Now the 1-1 to Cho. Slapped foul over the left side, and it just gets over the sweets. One ball, two strikes. In his first season with Quad Cities, Williams is 2-2 with a 4.50 ERA, 47 strikeouts in 52 innings with a 1.38 whip and a 2.42 opponent batting average. He gets his sign from the catcher, Jensen. Now turns, kicks, and fires. Wave and a miss. Got him on a breaking ball. Jensen will pick up the baseball to hit the dirt. He throws down to Werner, and it's a strikeout to start the game for Williams. Well, this lineup really swinging it well for Peoria right now. They lead the Midwest League in runs during the month of June. They have scored 105 in 19 games. That's a 5.5 run per game average. And they've also just generally been hitting the ball over the fence as Dakota Harris steps in right on right. First pitch, called strike, low outside corner, a mid-90s fastball. The Chiefs have 21 homers in their last 19 games. And five of those 21 belong to Dakota Harris. The 0-1 pitch to him, low and outside for ball one. Harris, in addition to the slugging prowess as of late, owns the largest active hit streak in the Midwest League right now. He's got knocks in 14 straight games, and he has reached in 15 straight. 1-1. Off the hands, bloop towards shallow right, charging in Dickey. He's got time, and he makes the catch to the left side of his body for the second out. Let's set up the rest of the Bandits defense for you. The center fielder, Carson Rockefert, he's flanked by Nivens in left, the aforementioned Dickey in right field. The middle infield is comprised of Dickerson at short, Johnson at second, Jack Pineda's at third base with Trevor Werner at first, and behind the plate, it's Carter Jensen. Two outs, nobody on for Leonardo Bernal, the switch-hitting catcher. Batting left-handed, he'll hack at the first pitch and foul it over the third base side. Bernal is the other top 30 Cardinals prospect in the order for Patrick Anderson today. He comes in at number 7 on MLB Pipeline's list. Williams 0-1, missed outside, one ball, one strike. Bernal, as a switch hitter, has some pretty significant splits, as in he is much better against left-handed pitching than right-handed pitching. 1-1, that's hit well deep towards the left field corner. Rockefert on the move into the alley. At the warning track, he'll reach up and make the catch. It's a long F8 to end the first inning for Henry Williams. A perfect 1-2-3 frame for the right-hander. We go to the second, scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
start of the second inning at Dozier Park. The Bandits starter, Henry Williams, getting going on a high note today. He retires the Chiefs 1-2-3 in their half of the opening frame. Scoreless ball game here in the series opener. Bandits will have Rockefeller, Nivens, and Dickerson due up against the right-hander Inohan Paniagua. Out of the wind, first pitch comes in, and Rockefeller tattoos it, but well fouled to the right side for strike one. Rockefeller has swung it well as of late, and well against the Chiefs this year. 0-1 pitch. Tapper foul to the right side. No balls, two strikes. Rockefeller is 6 for his last 16. He owns a 5-game on-base streak and has driven in 5 runs during that stretch while posting an even 500 on-base percentage. Paniagua's 0-2 pitch. Breaking ball left high and outside. Against the Chiefs this year, albeit a 6-game sample size, Rockefeller's hitting .333 with a homer and 4 RBIs. 1-2. Fastball up. Count evens, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Rockefeller is the Royals' number 16 prospect per MLB pipeline. This is his first year in the Midwest League. The 2-2. High and outside. They can't get Rock to chase, and it's a full count. He's hitting just over the Mendoza line this year, but he does have 6 homers and 30 RBIs. Payoff pitch. Curveball spun high and away for ball 4. That's a leadoff walk for Rockefeller, who works all the way back from down 0-2. And that showcases how well he's seeing the baseball right now. Maybe in the first couple of months of the season, he chases one of those out of the zone, but here he's disciplined. And the Bandits get a man at first with nobody out for the left fielder, Spencer Nivens. First pitch swing, and it's a broken bat liner down the right field line, but just foul. It gets behind the Chiefs' bullpen. And after just one swing, Nivens is going to need himself a new piece of lumber. While the Chiefs are in the midst of an offensive renaissance, Quad Cities has been solid at the dish. In terms of their average last week, they hit .246 as a team, but it was really more timeliness over just overall quantity, if that makes sense. Bandits hit right around .300 as a team with runners in scoring position last week, and they also worked a bunch of walks. Nivens back in the box. Here's the 0-1. It's low and outside for a ball. Quad Cities had a .344 on base percentage last week. They walked 29 times, the most of any team in the Midwest League last series. 1-1. Down and away, 2 balls and 1 strike. Nivens has 20 walks in 38 games this year, but he's only batting .135. He's hitting 6th for Brooks Conrad today. Runner at first, that's Rockefeller. A throw his direction, and Carson gets back with a head-first dive. In terms of total stolen bases, he has been the best base runner for Quad Cities this year, having nabbed 20. That is a top 10 mark in the league. 2-1 pitch, he takes off. Called strike at the plate, throw to second from Bernal in plenty of time. Harris swipes the tag on him, and Rockefeller is caught stealing. Well, he has stolen 20 bases, which is top 10 in the league. He's also been caught 9 times, and that ties Wisconsin's Luis Laura for the most in the league. So Paniagua erases the leadoff walk, and now the 2-2 to Nivens is cut through for strike 3. Got him out in front of a curveball, and just like that, the Bandits go from a nice start to the inning to a couple of quick outs and nobody aboard. Already the third strikeout for Paniagua, who's averaging just over 1 per 9 innings this year. He now gets the right-on-right matchup against the Bandits shortstop, Dustin Dickerson, the former Southern Miss product. First pitch, called strike, a sinker at the base of the zone. It's 0-1. Paniagua has a .364 ERA this year, entered the ballgame with an even 60 strikeouts in 54 and a third innings. 0-1, swing and a miss. Dickerson chased low and outside, and it's nothing in 2. Dusty will not use his timeout. He steps right back up and is ready to go. Paniagua likes to work quickly, so he obliges. Changing up his delivery, the 0-2. Down and away on the breaking ball. Paniagua added a little bit of hesitation on that initial movement, but Dickerson wasn't thrown off. Dominican right-hander throws again. And it's just low. An inch or two below the knees. And the count 2-2 on Dickerson. Top of the second inning at Dozier Park. No score. Bandits with nobody on and two outs. Paniagua's 2-2. That one is called strike three. He finds the base of the zone with a four-seamer. So Paniagua has given up a base runner in each of his first two innings, but he has closed out both frames scorelessly and with back-to-back strikeouts. Already four in the books for him. Quad Cities back to the field for the bottom of the second. We're scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Henry Williams back to work for the Chiefs half of the second inning. We're scoreless in our series opener thus far. Williams gets the middle third of the order for Peoria, beginning with the right-hander Chris Rotondo. First pitch. Fastball down the middle for a called strike. It's Rotondo, Iadesurnia, and Curiali due up. Two right-handed bats sandwiching the lefty. Williams 0-1. Tapper foul to the left side. No balls and two strikes. Game number 18 for Rotondo this year. He bats 271 with three homers and 10 driven in. He's played in 17 games, and he's reached in each of his last 15. 0-2 in the dirt. Could not get him to chase. It's ball one. Chiefs 27-41 overall this year. Finished the first half last in the Western Division. Like the Bandits, they're off to a 1-2 start in the second half. 1-2. Popped up over the screen out of play. And the count holds. Rotondo looks a little bit upset. Perhaps disappointed he didn't square that one up better. He'll use his batter timeout here as Williams methodically settles onto the slab. Looking for his second strike out of the game. Here comes the 1-2. Breaking ball, down and away. Williams features your standard four-pitch mix, fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. He stands at 6'5", 228 pounds. 2-2 to Rotondo. Breaking ball, grounded towards third. Pineda plays it on the high hop, sets his feet, throws to first, and picks up the first out. So while Trevor Werner holds down first base for Brett Squires tonight, Jack Pineda at the hot corner. He's playing third for the 15th time this season. And just like Werner at first base, Pineda had never played at third prior to this season. And that includes his high school and college ball. Now Alex Iadesurnia at the plate. He takes down and away. Pineda, though, has been fantastic regardless of where Brooks Conrad has put him in the infield. Williams 1-0. Swing and a miss. Got him chasing below the knees for strike one. Jack does lead Quad Cities in errors this season with 8. He's actually tied with Dustin Dickerson. But those two get the most chances because they're always on the left side of the infield more often than not. 1-1. Curveball, down and away. 2-1. If Pineda's not playing short, Dickerson is. And if Dickerson's not playing short, Pineda is. So obviously those guys are going to get the most chances and those guys get the most errors. The 2-1. high fly, deep to center field. Rockefort on the move, sprinting towards the wall. He leaps up and makes the catch. In unfamiliar territory, Rockefort makes a leaping grab right up against the padding. And that is the second out of the inning. Well, he is an above average to arguably elite defensive center fielder. He has shown that off more often than not this year. Made a great diving catch against Great Lakes last week. And here in the first game against the Chiefs, he's got a nice leaping snag. So now the base is empty and two outs for Michael Chiarelli. And Henry Williams sails one over the head of Jensen for ball one. A right-on-right matchup. Chiarelli, the third baseman for Los Perros Bomberos today. 1-0. Low and inside. Two balls, no strikes. The Bandits have not seen Chiarelli before. He began the season on the injured list. He's playing in his 45th game this year. 2-0. Right center field, slapped well. Rockefort into the alley. He'll make the catch. The center fielder has that part of the diamond locked down. It's another 1-2-3 inning for Henry Williams. Six up, six down for the former Blue Devil. And we go to the third, scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
With a little help from Carson Rockefort, Henry Williams is off to a perfect start. He has retired each of the first six Chief hitters who have come to the plate. And now Quad Cities looking to do some damage offensively in the top of the third inning. Home plate umpire Travis Robertson giving Brooks Conrad a moment to get out to the third base coach's box. And now Chris Brito ready for his first hacks of the night. Paniagua's first pitch breaking ball will miss down and away for ball one. 8-9-1 due up for Quad Cities, beginning with the newest member of the Bandits roster, at least in terms of position players. 1-0, a called strike on the inner half. One ball, one strike. Brito playing in his fifth game with Quad Cities after opening the year in single-A Columbia. 1-0, inside, two balls, no strikes. He picked up his first hit and his first RBI as a member of the Bandits up in Midland. The 2-1 offering. Line drive, left center field. There's hit number two. Cho ranges into the alley to cut it off. Brito content with a leadoff single. And Quad Cities for the second straight frame has the leadoff batter aboard. Now Rotondo, the right fielder for Peoria, misplayed a ball in the sun back in the first inning. That led to a Jared Dickey double. This one, a more true hit, so to speak. So a man at first with nobody out. Scoreless game in the top of the third. Paniagua now pitching to Justin Johnson. First pitch, called strike on the outer half. Now JJ's been in an interesting spot offensively lately. He's hitting in the low 200s over the last couple of weeks, but he has 13 walks in his last 12 games. He swings through a pitch down here. No balls, two strikes. He's got all 13 walks during that 12-game span in June, and that ties Carson Rockefort for the most on the team this month, but Rockefort has had 24 more at-bats to do it. 0-2 pitch, breaking ball left just high. One ball, two strikes. on the year. The former Demon Deacons hitting 197 with no homers and 10 driven in. Put together a three-walk game in the first matchup of the doubleheader last Sunday. 1-2, breaking ball just outside. Two balls, two strikes. Jack Pineda, Quad City's leadoff hitter, waits on deck. Chris Brito at first base, held on by Toveline after a leadoff single. Double play depth for Harris and Richardson up the middle. 2-2. Off the plate outside, it bounces out of Bernal's glove, but Brito stays put. And Jensen, or rather Johnson, as he's done more often than not over the last month, works himself into a three-ball count. Paniagua walked Carson Rockefort after getting ahead of him 0-2 earlier in the game. Payoff pitch. Slap towards right center field and deep. Cho back towards the warning track. He'll make the snag. And Brito hustles back towards first base. Now, Johnson was hitting home runs all over the yard during batting practice, and he squared that one up pretty well. But it dies out in right center field. And with one away and a man at first, here is Jack Pineda. Jack with a bounce out to first on the game's first pitch. But he's working on a nice four-game hit streak. First pitch outside for ball one. Pineda has also reached safely in 9 consecutive ball games, and during that stretch, he has 8 hits, 6 walks, and 5 RBIs. He's done a little bit of everything. He's batting an even 250 on the year. Here's a swing and a miss at a good breaking ball, and Jack has the count evened on him, 1 ball and 1 strike. Brito already has a stolen base as a River Bandit, but he's also been caught once. He gets the signs from Brooks Conrad as the 1-1 comes to Pineda, and he breaks his bat, lining one to the right side, diving stop at second by Richardson, and he will get Pineda at first base. A little Baylor-on-Baylor crime there. Those two used to play together back in their college days, and they share a smile as Jack goes back to the third base dugout. Nice play by Trey Richardson. With the lefty at the plate, he was deeper in the hole than the second baseman usually is, so he was in position to make that diving stop. Quad Cities, though, has a man in scoring position with 2 outs in the top of the third. Jared Dickey in the box. He'll take inside for ball one. With his first inning double, Jared now has hits in 6 straight games, and he has reached in 8 consecutive contests, swinging the bat as well as he has since the start of the year. 1-0. A late swing. He fouls the fastball into the Bandits' bullpen, and it will be strike one. During this 6-game hit streak, Dickey is 8-for-19 with a home run, 4 RBIs, and 3 walks to 2 strikeouts. And anytime you see more walks than strikeouts, you know a guy is really locked in. Paniagua looks back towards Brito. Now here comes the 1-1. Chopper back up the middle. Harris, the shortstop, grabs it to the right of second, sets his feet, throws to first, and gets Dickey to end the inning. So once again, Paniagua allows some early traffic, but works out of it unscathed. We go to the bottom of the third, scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
after being shut out in Game 2 of their doubleheader on Sunday, the last time the Bandits were on the baseball diamond. The Peoria Chiefs have kept them off the board through the first three innings tonight. Kyle Kirchival stuttering my way through the start of the bottom of the third. Pleased to have you along with us here at Dozer Park. Bottom third of the order due up for Peoria. It starts with Osvaldo Tovelin, and he'll foul one out of play for strike one. Good news for Quad Cities is their starter, Henry Williams, has matched Paniagua out for out. In fact, he's worked two perfect frames to start the ballgame. 0-1, that's a called strike, lower inside corner. Nice located fastball from Henry, and Tovelin will use a timeout. Osvaldo is one of three purely left-handed hitters in the order for Patrick Anderson tonight. Leonardo Bernal, the catcher, is a switch hitter. Williams 0-2. Fastball, couldn't get him to chase. It was high. Another on-base streak for a Chiefs hitter. Tovelin has modestly reached in each of his last four contests. Williams takes a long look into Jensen. Now fires the 1-2. It's a breaking ball, slapped towards center field, charging in Rockford. He dives, and he makes another spectacular catch. No, he does not. It hits the turf. Travis Robertson, the home plate umpire, sticking out both arms to signal that the ball hit the ground, and it is not a web gem. That looked pretty good from up here, but that's why I'm in the press box. Valiant effort from Rockford, who nearly had another spectacular grab. Instead, the Chiefs get their first hit of the ball game. A man on with nobody out for Trey Richardson now. A right-on-right matchup. First pitch fastball. Called strike, lower outside corner. And anytime Rockford gets the jersey dirty, you just assume it's a catch. But Travis Robertson, the home plate umpire, was all over it. He immediately signaled that the ball hit the ground, and nobody in that third base dugout complained. 0-1. Outside, 1-1. Speaking of fantastic plays, Trey Richardson made a nice diving stop over at second base to rob Jack Pineda of a hit. That was in the last half inning. This is Richardson's first game against Quad Cities in his young career. Runner takes off, 1-1 pitch down and away. Jensen fires to second. Johnson slaps the tag, and he's out. Powerful throw from Carter Jensen and a great tag from JJ. He got it on Tovelin's hip right as he went for the feet first slide. And he is caught stealing for just the second time this year. So now one out and nobody on for Richardson. The 2-1 pitch. Tapped foul over to the left side. 3 or 4 feet off the third base chalk. Now the Chiefs don't like to run quite as much as Quad Cities, but they'll get out and move. They only have one double-digit base stealer. That's Joshua Baez, who waits on deck. Everybody else in single digits, but almost everybody else with at least one. The 2-2. Check swing. Breaking ball was down and outside. The appeal to Evan Anderson. He says no swing. It's ball three. Tovelin's single was the Chiefs' first base runner. Williams has not given out a walk today. Here comes the payoff pitch. Got him swinging. Second strikeout for Henry. Just blew the fastball past him. A pure challenge pitch. And Williams comes out on top. So two down. And now the nine-hole hitter Baez up. He is serving as the designated hitter today, but he is listed as one of the Chiefs' six active outfielders. Heavy shift towards left field. Williams' first pitch is a swing and a miss. Nicely located off the inner half of the zone. I think it was the slider. Baez, a .231 hitter with 8 home runs this season. The pitch. Curveball left inside for ball one. Those 8 home runs lead the Chiefs. It's just outside of the league's top 10. The 1-1 delivery. Fastball is a called strike on the lower outside corner. Nicely set up there. Went curveball inside, fastball down and away. Let's see if he gets him to chase. Williams has the signal. The 1-2. He got him. Back to the curveball and back to the bench for Joshua Baez. It's a two-strikeout inning for Henry Williams. He has faced the minimum with help from a caught stealing. We go to the top of the fourth, still without a run, on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Some great pitching has quickly brought us to the fourth inning tonight. Quad Cities and Peoria doing battle at Dozier Park for the first time this season. Quad Cities continuing its final two-week road trip of the season. They'll have Jensen, Werner, and Rockefeller due up here in the fourth. Paniagua starts Jensen outside for ball one. Carter caught Osvaldo Tovalin stealing in the last half inning. It's the 15th time he's nabbed somebody this year. Paniagua's breaking ball is taken for a strike at the knees. It evens the count at 1-1. Offensively, Jensen 0-1 with a strikeout. The pitch. Call strike. Fastball low inside corner. It's 1-2. Chiefs infield shifted to right, playing the pole. 1-2 fastball left high. Two balls, two strikes. I mentioned Jensen struggling through the month of June. He's hitting in the low 200s. The pitch. Paniagua hesitates and now deals. That's low for ball three. Jensen also with that strikeout back in the first has now been punched out in 10 straight ball games. That's his longest strikeout streak as a member of Quad Cities. 3-2 pitch. Outside for ball four. He laid off the breaking ball. And even though the strikeout numbers have been up for Jensen, the walk numbers have remained fantastic. That is his league-leading 49th of the year. And he will go down to first base with Trevor Werner stepping in. So for Paniagua, he's pitched three scoreless innings, but in three of the last four frames, he has given up a leadoff base runner. Quad City is trying to do something with it this time around as Paniagua throws to first and Carter dives back safely. Werner also struck out in the first inning. That is his 100th on the season. It leads the Midwest League. First pitch. Tapped foul off the end of the stick for strike one. Some clouds starting to make their way over the sunshine. So you no longer see those long shadows stretching from the third base dugout out towards right field. Everything shaded at the moment, and the wind has completely stopped. Paniagua's 0-1, down and away, one ball, one strike. Inohan has loved pitching at Dozier Park this season. Interestingly, he is going through the same home road split scenario as the Bandits starter, Henry Williams, is right now, 1-1. Called strike, outer half. That's a little fastball with some glove side movement. It's a ball and two strikes. Paniagua, in seven home appearances, has a 1.41 ERA, and teams are only hitting 157 against him here. 1-2, grounded foul towards Brooks Conrad. He knocks it down and will throw out the souvenir. But on the road, Paniagua is 2-3 with a 6.85 ERA over six appearances outside of Dozier Park. So when he's here, he's phenomenal. When he's on the road, he is really scuffled. Another 1-2 pitch. Werner sends it foul over the right side. And then when you look at Henry Williams, in five starts at Modern Woodman Park, he has a 1.80 ERA. On the road, 8.18. But based on how he's pitched to start this ball game, you'd never guess it. He's pitched three scoreless and given up just one hit with three strikeouts. 1-2. Check swing, curveball down and away. No appeal, it's ball two. That's a good take from Werner. After falling behind 1-2, he's fouled off two straight pitches and taken a ball. Not interested in striking out for a second straight time. Jensen still held at first by Tovalin. There is nobody out. The pitch, swing and a miss. Eventually, Paniagua wears him down with the off speed. That's the fifth strikeout for the right-hander, and there is one away. I mentioned earlier, last time Paniagua pitched against Quad Cities was at Modern Woodman Park on April 17th. And he was not good. Gave up seven runs, six earned, and four and a third. But since then, he's never given up more than three runs in a start. First pitch to Carson Rockefort. Fouled over the left side for strike one. Rockefort drew the first walk for the Quad Cities bats today. Reached to begin the second inning, but then was caught stealing. Paniagua pauses at the chest. His 0-1. Just outside with a fastball. There have not been many base runners through the first third of the ball game. Each team has tried to steal, and both of those guys gunned down by their opposing catchers. Paniagua throws over to first, and again, Jensen back safely. Rockefort raising that on-base percentage with another free pass. He takes 1-1 low, and Jensen takes off for second, and the throw from Bernal goes into center field. Joe races to it, but he's got no throw as Jensen advances 90 feet to third. Heads up play from Carter Jensen. Bernal was working very slowly, getting the ball back towards the pitcher, and he took advantage. He's going to get a stolen base, and the Chiefs will be charged with their second error, this one on Bernal, allowing Jensen to third. The 2-1 to Rockefort, swing and a miss. Good breaking ball, and it's 2-2. This is the second time Peoria has had a man at third base. Rather, the second time Quad Cities has had a man at third base, and the Chiefs have brought the infield in with less than two outs. The Bandits did not take advantage of that scenario in the first. 2-2. Down and in on the curveball, and it's a full count. Even though Rockefort's only hitting 203 this year, he is tied for second on the team with 30 RBIs. He and Jack Pineda, who have both served as the leadoff man at different points this year. 3-2. Low and inside for ball four. Paniagua couldn't get him to chase the back foot curveball, and he issues his second walk of the inning and his second of the game to Rockefort. So with one out, that free pass, not the worst thing in the world for Inohan, because now a ground ball could get him out of the inning. Quad Cities and Peoria scoreless in the top of the fourth inning. This moment right now marks the first time in the ball game any team has had two runners on base. Right on left, the pitch to Nivens is lined into right field. Quad Cities is going to take the lead. Rockefort will hustle first to third. Rotondo throws the ball in towards second, and Spencer Nivens comes through with the RBI single. Ribby number 9 on the year for Nivens, and he didn't wait. He ambushes Paniagua on the first pitch, and he did not miss it. He laces one into the grass, and Quad Cities gets the first lead of the series. Now time called by the Chiefs. Pitching coach. Now that's not Edwin Moreno. That's someone else walking out to the hill. It's not Patrick Anderson. Somebody on this Chiefs staff very slowly walking out towards the mound. He'll talk things over with not only the battery, but the defense. Well, that's really great to see from Nivens, who, if you've been following Quad Cities lately, has been struggling. He entered that at-bat just 2 for his last 27. But he comes through with the go-ahead swing today. Travis Robertson, the home plate umpire, now joining the conference on the hill himself, trying to break it up, but the conversation continues. And eventually, that member of the Chiefs coaching staff heads back to the first base dugout. Bandits up 1-0 in the top of the fourth inning, and they are still in position to do some damage. There are runners at the corners with one out, and Dustin Dickerson stepping in, and he has been one of the Bandits' best hitters here in the month of June, batting .283. Last week against the Loons, he hit .333. Right on right, Paniagua's first pitch is just down and away. It looked like a changeup that just missed. Nivens is a threat to run at first. He has swiped 4 bags and 5 tries this year. Remember, he's only played in 39 games. The pitch. It's low for ball two. Dickerson's average working its way up towards .250. He's hitting .244 with a homer, 19 RBIs, and he's also walked 32 times. The 2-0 off the hands, popped up near the second base side, or the first base side, rather, as Valdo Toveline will make the catch in front of the second baseman, Richardson, and there's your second out. That's exactly what Paniagua was looking for. He either needed a strikeout or a pop-up slash shallow fly ball, and that's exactly what he got. So, with that, 2 outs and men at the corners, this time for the designated hitter, Chris Brito. First pitch, down and away for ball one. Pitch count for Paniagua now at an even 70 through 3 2/3. He has given up 3 hits and 3 walks, but he has struck out 5. He got Trevor Werner earlier in this inning. 1-0. Breaking ball, a called strike on the inner half for strike one. Brito just getting his feet wet here in the Midwest League after batting .300 in single-A Columbia, earning himself the promotion. 1-1, check swing, pitch was down and away, and it's no swing. Evan Anderson confirms ball two on the appeal. Brito is just one of those guys where everywhere he goes, he seems to hit well. That includes his summer collegiate ball, his indie ball. Should make a great addition to this lineup. Here's a pickoff move to first. Nivens dives back safely. I mentioned the numbers he put up at Rutgers, just unbelievable. 46 home runs in his college career with 200 RBIs, including Rutgers' single-season record 74 in 2022. 2-1 pitch, chopper foul to the left side. But if you just go to Baseball Reference and look at his cumulative stats, including his time at Rutgers, his time in the NECL, which is the New England Collegiate Baseball League, and his time in the MLB Draft League with Trenton in 2023, he is hitting an even 300 in 1,761 at-bats. 2-2. Tapper foul off the end of the bat towards the Bandits on deck circle. It's incredible just how consistent he has been in his career. The only time he wasn't tearing the cover off the ball was his freshman year at Rutgers. He hit .242, and after that it was a straight arrow up on the graph. The 2-2 again. Foul ball over the right side. The other thing that Brito does is not strike out. Obviously, he's punched out a few times with Quad Cities as he gets comfortable at this level. But when he was with Columbia, he had posted an 11.3 strikeout rate just before his promotion, which ranked second in the Carolina League. Another 2-2. Another foul ball. Brito reaches out and fouls a curve towards the backstop. And this at-bat will continue on to an 8th pitch. Quad Cities with a 1-0 lead in the top of the 4th. They just got the first run on Spencer Niven's RBI single. He stands at first base while Rockefeller is still at third. 2 outs and a 2-2 count on the DH. Paniagua's searching for that away pitch. He fires. Breaking ball just high. Maybe a touch inside. I'm not sure where it missed. That was a crafty pitch and a crafty spot, but Brito is locked in. He takes it for ball three. And now with a full count and two outs, Nivens gets a head start at first base. Paniagua closing in on 80 pitches as the Chiefs bullpen gets started. 3-2, grounder softly hit towards third. Kiriale fields, throws to first, and gets the out to end the inning. A valiant effort from Chris Brito. After nine pitches, he is finally retired, and that'll do it for the Bandits in their half of the fourth. Quad Cities, though, in front for the first time tonight. An RBI single off the bat of Spencer Nivens gets the job done. Bottom of four next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. After the go-ahead RBI single for Spencer Nivens, Henry Williams gets to pitch with the lead for the first time tonight. In the bottom of the fourth, he starts against Juan Bincho and gets him to chase in the dirt for strike one. Williams has faced the minimum through three scoreless innings. He did give up his first base runner on Osvaldo Tovalin's single in the third, but just a few pitches after he reached, Carter Jensen gunned him down trying to steal second. And then Williams struck out the next two hitters he faced and the inning. 0-1 to Cho in the dirt. Low and outside. This time he lays off and it's ball one. Pitch count for Paniagua already at 78. The Chiefs have the bullpen active, but nobody's throwing right now. 1-1 down and outside. It's 2-1. Towards the end of the last half inning, a right-hander had gotten up. But that pitcher has since sat down. 2-1 on the way. Outside, it's 3-1. Cho with a strikeout in the bottom of the first, but on the year, batting 226. 3-1. High and away for ball four. Now Cho, not a guy that works a ton of walks, but he gets one there. And as a result, he now has an 11-game on-base streak. And that's what you like to see from your leadoff guy. So at times, Williams has struggled with the walk this year, but that's just the first one he's given up tonight. A man aboard with nobody out for Dakota Harris, the right-handed hitting shortstop. Cho, a threat to run over at first. Here's the pitch. High fly towards deep left field. Nivens is back at the wall, and it's off the Xfinity sign. Cho burns around third base. Here comes the relay from Dickerson. It's way offline, sailing behind home. And up to third goes Harris. Chiefs had tied the game on an RBI double. And then Dakota's going to get an extra 90 feet on the air. I don't know what happened with Dickerson there. Just a complete airmail of a throw. Well, Harris has been one of, if not the best hitter in the Midwest League lately. Other than, well, so coming into this game, Brett Squires was your league's leading hitter in the month of June. But after game two of the doubleheader on Sunday, Harris took over that role. Now a man at third for Leonardo Bernal. He'll take down and away. Ball blocked by Carter Jensen. So give a double to Harris. It's his ninth of the year, RBI number 32. It's also his 25th hit during this now 16-game on-base streak. 1-0 to Bernal. Outside for ball two. So after a safe trip through the order the first time through, Williams has given up back-to-back base runners and a run at the start of the second time through. 2-0, that's way outside for ball three. By the way, for Dickerson, it is error number nine, his team-leading ninth of the year. Infield in for Quad Cities, the 3-0. That's low, ball four. So Williams either wanted nothing to do with Bernal or was being a little more cautious after the double and never was able to get one in the zone. Now Williams appears to be looking for a signal of sorts from the dugout. Now he's getting it. It's the third baseman, Jack Pineda, who is acting as the infield captain, so to speak, making sure everybody knows the first, third defense situation. Carter Jensen on his way back behind home plate after a brief visit. And it's Chris Rotondo who will come up. He's the cleanup hitter for the Chiefs. He bounced out to third his first time up. Quad Cities would love another ground ball here with men at the corners and nobody out. Right on right, Williams sets in the stretch, fires, and pours a strike on the low outside corner. Rotondo with 10 RBIs in 17 games this year. A former 19th round pick by the Cardinals back in 2022. 0-1. Wave and a miss. It's off the glove of Jensen, though, and up the second base goes Bernal. Well, that should just be a pass ball on Jensen. Not exactly sure what happened there. Just didn't squeeze it right. It's going to be Jensen's fourth of the year, Quad City's fifth as a team. Bandits took a 1-0 lead in the top of this inning on the Spencer Niven single. The Dakota Harris double has tied it up on the Chiefs' behalf. Williams 0-2. Got him swinging. Beautiful curveball for Henry's fourth strikeout and the much-needed first out here in this half frame. Got Rotondo chasing that heavy 12-6 movement down into the dirt. And now here's Alex Iadesernia. Right on left, the outfielder flew out to center his first time, but hit it well. First pitch, called strike at the knees. That was the fly ball that Rockefeller had to jump at the wall to make the catch on. He's hitting .242 with two homers and 21 driven in this year. Now in his second season with High A Peoria. Infield still in for Quad Cities with two men in scoring position. 0-1 pitch in the dirt, and it's ball one. That pass ball really comes back to hurt Quad Cities now because had Jensen held on to that pitch, Rotondo would have still been at first base with one out. Williams takes a deep breath and deals. Fastball, called strike, low outside corner. Iadesernia did not like the call, and it's 1-2. Again, some movement in that Chiefs bullpen, but nobody throwing at the moment. The 1-2. Off the end of the bat, fouled out of play on the left side. The count holds at 1-2. Iadesernia, wearing number 4 for the Chiefs, a 7th round pick by the Cardinals back in 2022, a native of Staten Island, New York. Williams with a new baseball in hand, the pitch, curveball grounded sharply into the diving glove of Werner. He's got no play at home. He has to get Iadesernia at first as Harris scampers in. That's the second out, but Iadesernia brings in a run for his 22nd RBI of the year in a 2-1 Chiefs lead. Really good play from Trevor Werner, and a smart one at that. He could have panicked and fired one towards the plate and would have been hard-pressed to have gotten Harris, who went on contact, and instead he says, it's early in the game, I'm going to get the second out. It's now a man at third with two gone for Kiriali, and he'll take a strike at the base of the strike zone. All three runs in the game scored in this fourth inning. Chiefs with a 2-1 lead. Kiriali, a fly out to center his first time up. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Chased in the dirt, low and away. Nice stop from Carter Jensen, who pounced out from behind the dish and knocked it down. It's like Kiriali had made up his mind he was going to swing at that pitch before he even saw it. That was almost in front of the left-handed batter's box. Williams in the driver's seat. He already has four Ks tonight. His 0-2 pitch. Tapped slowly towards short. Dickerson plays the ricochet off the hill. Throws on the move to first and gets the out to end the inning. Nice play from Dusty, but not before the Chiefs bring six batters to the plate and not only tie the game, but take a 2-1 lead. An RBI double from Dakota Harris, followed by the RBI ground out off the bat of Alex Iadesernia. We're through four, Chiefs 2, Bandits 1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Just as Quad Cities took the first lead of the ball game, the Chiefs respond with their first lead. Both teams scoring in the fourth. First, it was the Bandits up 1-0 on Spencer Niven's RBI single. But just moments later, an RBI double from Dakota Harris and a ground out give the Chiefs a 2-1 advantage. Bandits back to the plate to start off the fifth. And even though his pitch count is at 78, Enohan Paniagua is back on the hill for Peoria. First pitch. That's a called strike one to Justin Johnson. 8-9-1 due up for Quad Cities. Two righties followed by the lefty Pineda. 0-1 down and away with the curveball. That actually looked like a slider out of the hand of Paniagua. It's not a pitch that's in his scouting report. He deals. That one is low, the sinker for ball two. Correction, it is 9-1-2 due up for Quad Cities. The pitch. Chopper to the right side. First baseman Toveline gloves. Underhand flip to Paniagua covering is in time. He beats JJ by a couple of steps, and it's the first out. Johnson off to an 0-for-2 start in the 9-hole today. And it is back to the top of the order for Jack Pineda. Jack has put the ball in play twice tonight. But is 0-for-2, bouncing out to third and to second base. Getting a chance to play against his former Baylor teammate, Trey Richardson, who stands at second base for Peoria. The pitch. Curveball right down the middle for a called strike. Pineda, not really a guy that'll throw out the bunt. However, Kiriali, the third baseman, is playing in. 0-1 inside. Jack leans out of the way for ball one. Paniagua quickly fires again, and it's lined towards center field. It'll be a base hit. Three hops into the glove of Cho. Pineda safe at first with his first knock of the ball game. So Pineda now with a five-game hit streak. He is 7 for his last 20. And he's aboard for Jared Dickey, who picked up Quad City's first hit with that first inning double. But after he advanced to third on an error, he was left stranded. Quad City's just 1 for 6 with runners in scoring position to start the night. Right on left, Paniagua's pitch is hit hard right to the shortstop, Harris. He'll step on second for one, on to first for a double play, and that will end the inning. Unfortunate for Jared Dickey. He scorched the ball right up the middle, but Harris had read the scouting report. He was in the perfect spot for that 6-3 inning-ending double play. Halfway through this series opener, bottom of five next. Chiefs still up 2-1.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Welcome back to Dozer Park in Peoria, Illinois. Kyle Kercheval with you for the series opener between Quad Cities and the Chiefs. Henry Williams, the Bandits starter, going back out for the bottom of the fifth inning, trying to work his fourth start of five or more frames this year. Actually, correction, this would be his sixth start of five or more. He'll get Tovalin, Richardson, and Baez in the home half of the fifth inning. Tovalin with a single off him in the third. One of just two Chiefs hits tonight. Williams' first pitch. Missed low for ball one. That was the changeup. Henry's defense kind of let him down in the fourth inning. He is on the hook for two runs, but just one of them earned thanks to a pass ball and an error. 1-0. Off the hands of the bat, popped up behind the screen, and that's going to get in the seats right in front of me. Gentleman spilled his adult beverage and didn't come away with the baseball. Tovalin now with a five-game on-base streak after that single in the third. He's got four RBIs in his last five games, but nobody on for him here. 1-1. High and outside for ball two. Paniagua pitched into the fifth inning despite having dealt 78 times prior to starting the frame. Wound up facing the minimum with help from a double play ball. 2-1. Sharply hit right through the left side for a base knock. Dickerson was shaded up the middle, and Tovalin found that vacated spot for his second knock of the night. Tovalin had five hits against Quad Cities in the series in Davenport back in April. Had himself a good week. And he seems to be continuing that with a 2-for-2 start today. Man at first, nobody out for Trey Richardson. First pitch. He squares to bunt and taps it foul off the home plate umpire Travis Robertson. I mentioned that Richardson played a couple of seasons collegiately at Baylor with Jack Pineda. His first three total college summers were there, but then for his senior season, he went to TCU, and that's the institution where the Cardinals drafted him from. A one pitch. He again squares and pops it foul over by the Bandits' dugout. It's strike two. Richardson, a 15th round pick last year. Started the year on the Chiefs roster, but wasn't activated until May 28th. Williams struck him out swinging back in the third, but he has reached safely and six consecutive games, not including tonight. Williams has him against the ropes here. 0-2, fought off. That was a slider around the hands, and Richardson popped it into the screen. Bandits down 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. The first third of the game was scoreless before both teams scored their tallies in the fourth. Tovalin at first, held by Werner. He's already been caught stealing once today. Another 0-2 from Williams. Fastball grounded to second, could be two. Dickerson gloves, tags Tovalin for one, throws to first, a double play. No, Evan Anderson says that JJ didn't get the tag on him, and it's just going to be one. Johnson imploring to Anderson that he got the glove on him. Brooks Conrad, though, not out to argue from the third base dugout. So it's just going to be one. Tovalin up the second, and it just goes in the books 4-3. Oh, no. They are going to rule it a double play. Patrick Anderson, the manager for the Chiefs, went out there looking to talk to Evan Anderson. I wasn't sure why, but then I looked, and both bases were empty. So it is going to be a double play for Quad Cities. They're league-leading 58th of the year. So it's two outs and nobody on for the nine-hole hitter, Joshua Baez. First pitch. That's low. 1-0. So apparently Evan Anderson just needed an extra moment to think about it, or maybe somewhere he got an opinion from Travis Robertson, but I never saw the discussion. The pitch. Popped up foul over the right side. It's 1-1. Regardless of how the call was overturned, Bandits pick up one of those double plays, something that has been a hallmark of a usually very good defense this year. 1-1 on the way. Down and outside with the slider. Baez, one of the four strikeout victims for Williams. He got him swinging back in the third. With two outs in the fifth, Henry is about to throw his 70th pitch. 2-1. A two-hopper over to short, and it hops over Dickerson into left field. What on earth was that hop? That ball hit the trampoline and went soaring over Dickerson. And Dusty just putting his arms out like, what? Everyone's wondering the same thing. It's going to be a base hit for Baez with an assist to the infield. Unfortunate there for Quad Cities. So a man at first now with two outs for Juan Bencho, the leadoff man. First pitch, he's late, and he fouls one onto the concourse on the left side. Look out over there. Souvenir bouncing around. It looks like it ricocheted off a janitorial cart and towards a bathroom. It's not really something you expect in there. Throw to first. Back with a dive, Baez. Quad City's trailing 2-1 here in the bottom of the fifth inning. The pace has slowed down a little bit after we breezed through the first third of the contest. 0-1 to Cho. High and away for ball one. Williams has worked decently well in the zone today. 71 pitches, 44 strikes. He's given up two runs, but just one earned. He fires. Runner takes off, and Cho slaps it foul over the left side for strike two. With the walk in the fourth inning, Cho has now reached in 11 consecutive games. In his last 10, he hit .324. And he's got five extra base hits and five RBIs in his last eight. He's been very productive for the Cardinals High A affiliate. 1-2 again. Runner takes off. Pitch low. Jensen throws to second. They don't get him. Joshua Baez gets in just ahead of the tag from Dickerson. It was a perfect throw from Jensen, but the jump was just that much better. So a potential third run for Peoria, standing at second base with two outs. Cho fighting in this 2-2 count. Williams looking for his fifth K to end the inning. Here's the 2-2. Breaking ball, check swing, pitch in the dirt. He did not go. And it's ball three. Nobody throwing in the Bandits bullpen yet, but if Cho were to reach, I have to imagine that would be the signal for someone to start getting loose. The 3-2. Curveball left low and outside. Cho works himself another walk and extends the inning. So the second and now third time through the order has been a little bit more laborious for Williams than the first time was. That's for sure. Faced the minimum through the lineup the first time. And before Williams will pitch to Dakota Harris, pitching coach Derek Lewis heads out to the hill. And for the River Bandits, the reliever that's going to start tossing appears to be Ryan Ramsey. Now the entire infield in on the conversation with D'Lou. He pats the back of Carter Jensen before departing back for the dugout. Both teams with four hits in the game. Peoria has committed two errors. Quad Cities has committed one. But the Chiefs are up 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Well, not only did the walk extend the inning, but it extends the frame for Dakota Harris, who, as I was documenting earlier, is arguably the hottest hitter in the Midwest League right now. Williams back to work. Right on right, the pitch. Inside and past Jensen to the screen. He never got a piece of it. Everybody moves up 90 feet. Baez to third. It showed a second. That was not even remotely close to being caught by Carter, even though it wasn't that far inside. I think the pitch was just intended to be down and away, and it was nowhere near that spot. So now two in scoring position. The 1-0 to Harris is lined towards Dickerson, and it gets over his outstretched glove into left field. Both runners will score. It's now 4-1 Peoria. The two-out rally completed by Dakota Harris. He has himself a 3-RBI game, and we're only in the fifth inning. Dickerson gave it a leap over its short. He didn't time it up perfectly, but even if he had, it still would have sailed over the leather. So once again, a miscue is going to turn into runs for the Chiefs. Here's a throw to first. Harris back with a dive. Those two-out walks, the wild pitches, and in the fourth inning's case, an error, a pass ball. Those things will come back to bite you here at this level. Williams now throws to Bernal, and he rips it into right field. Another base hit. Harris burning around second, but he will slam on the brakes as the throw comes in from Dickey. Bernal just scorched that one. You heard it yourself. That was as loud of a thwack as you're going to hear. So now, here's Chris Rotondo. He is the seventh hitter in the inning for Peoria. Rick's Conrad remaining in the third base dugout while Ryan Ramsey continues to get loose. Chiefs have scored in back-to-back frames and lead 4-1, and they may not be done yet. Chris Rotondo is the batter, and he'll take a curveball for strike one. Chris, one of the few Chiefs not to get in on the action yet. He is 0-2 with a ground ball and a strikeout. That was Williams' last K in the fourth. 0-1, bouncer right back to Henry. He plays the hop perfectly. Underhand flips to Warner and ends the frame. Peoria, though, back in the run column. A two-run, two-out single for Dakota Harris. He is responsible for three of Peoria's 4-1 lead. We go to the sixth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Yeah. Couple more runs for Peoria. They've extended their lead over Quad Cities 4-1 as the Bandits go back to work offensively to start the sixth. And even though he's at 86 pitches, Peoria's starter Enohan Paniagua back out there. It'll be Jensen, Werner, and Rockefeller due up. That's the 3, 4, and 5 hitters for Quad Cities. Henry Williams will likely be done after 5 innings. His pitch count at 81. Ryan Ramsey's been warming up. First pitch to Jensen. Down and away for ball one. Paniagua, not a stranger to working into the 90s in terms of pitch count, but this is kind of pushing it today. 1-0. Called strike, base of the zone, 1-1. Paniagua now at 89 pitches. He's thrown 50 for a strike. The 1-1. Outside, ball two. Jensen is 0-for-1 today. A strikeout against Paniagua in the first, and then a walk and a run scored in the fourth. The 2-1. Off the end of the bat, fouled over the third base side, into the seats. Jensen struggling against left-handed pitching as of late, too. In addition to all the strikeouts, Paniagua a right-hander, an OPS of 909 for Jensen against those. 2-2. Just missed outside, and it's a full count. Against lefties, though, Jensen only OPSing 615. Full count pitch. That's low and inside for ball four. Another walk for Carter Jensen. He is at an even 50 this season. 50 free passes in 68 games. One of many reasons to be excited about the Royals' number 10 prospect. So Paniagua gives up a leadoff base runner for the fourth time in 6 innings tonight, but he's only given up 1 run. He now goes right on right against Trevor Werner and misses high with a fastball for ball one. Once again, activity in the Chiefs bullpen. A right-hander starting to toss. 1-0. Popped into the air towards that bullpen, racing over Rotondo, and he won't get there. It lands foul right in front of the relievers. Chiefs with a 4-1 lead in the top of the sixth inning. They're out hitting Quad Cities 6-4. There have only been 2 extra base hits in the game, a double from Jared Dickey and a double from Dakota Harris. Werner's back in the box, the 1-1. Scorched foul on the ground towards the Bandits bullpen, and nonchalantly they watch it roll past their shoe tops. Werner finds himself in another 2-strike count. Paniagua has already punched him out twice today, and he's going for his 6th of the ball game right here. Jensen held at first by Tovalin. Right-handers 1-2. Ground ball towards third, and it gets past Kiriali into left field. Base hit for Trevor Werner. And now it's the River Bandits getting a little rally going against the starter. Paniagua has faced 4 batters in his 3rd trip through the lineup. 3 of them have reached, and the only one that didn't was Jared Dickey, who grounded into a double play, but on a ball that was scorched right up the middle, and the shortstop was just at the right place at the right time. But after 4 batters the 3rd time through, I think Paniagua will be done. Patrick Anderson, the skipper for Peoria, out towards the hill. He will take the ball from the righty, and the Chiefs will be the first team to the bullpen tonight. They make a move with runners at 1st and 2nd, and nobody out in the top of the 6th. Carson Rockefeller will tell you about the new arm. Or rather, we'll face the new arm. We'll tell you about it when we come back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000. Or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Bandits trail 4-1 here in the top of the sixth, but they're bringing the tying run to the plate with nobody out. Peoria brings in right-hander Tyler Brott to try to cool down the rally. Carson Rockefort, the hitter for Quad Cities, he does not have an at-bat today because he has walked in each of his first two plate appearances. Jensen's at second, Werner's at first. Right-hander Brott fires a fastball, and Rockefort swings through it for strike one. Inohan Paniagua going five innings today, currently responsible for just one run on five hits with four walks and five Ks, but he is responsible for Jensen and Werner, who are at second and first base, respectively. Brott looks to second base. Now the 0-1 to Rockefort. In the air toward shallow left field, sprinting out Curiali, the third baseman. Still there. Now the shortstop, Harris, comes over at the last moment and makes a bit of an awkward on a knee catch. Looks to be okay, though. Kind of shook out his leg after making the snag. Yes, Rockefort is retired on what's technically a pop-up. Nearly got it into that Bermuda Triangle area on the left side, but Harris tracks it down, and up comes Spencer Nivens, who drove in the Bandits' lone run with a single in the fourth. Brott working out of the stretch along the first base side of the rubber. The pitch is a fastball high. Brott, a 16th round pick back in 2023 by the Cardinals. He was taken out of East Carolina University over in Greenville, North Carolina. His 1-0 pitch, check swing, doesn't matter. A called strike on the fastball. It's at the top of the zone. Brott's been with the Chiefs since the Cardinals broke camp. He is 2-3 with a 5.32 ERA in 18 appearances. Now the 1-1 coming to Nivens. Brott fires, and it's a swing and a miss at a fastball. Boy, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that over the left field fence, there is some nasty, nasty-looking clouds starting to make their way towards downtown Peoria. Might have ourselves another rainy second half of a ball game. It's like we're back in Midland again. Brott's 1-2 to Nivens. High and away with a fastball. Oh, and now looking out towards the lights, there's already some rain starting to fall. I'll have to pull up the radar and play amateur meteorologist. It's our favorite game here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Brott looks back to second. The 2-2, got him looking. Called strike three on a fastball right at the base of the zone. Those are two big outs for Brott as the rain is now sending Chiefs fans up towards the concourse. And with that, we may have to close a window up here in the broadcast booth. So it's Dustin Dickerson at the plate with two outs and two runners on. Quad City still with a good opportunity. The pitch. Fastball taken for a strike on the outer edge. All right, we've got the window closed. We're going to button down the hatches up here. 0-2 to Dusty. 0-1, rather. Swing and a miss. Brott just leaning on the fastball. And Quad Cities has been unable to connect on it squarely. No balls, two strikes. Chiefs with a 4-1 lead in the top of the sixth inning. Bratz come out of the bullpen and picked up back-to-back outs, trying to make it three straight to strand the tying run at the plate. His 0-2. Fastball called, strike three, upper outside corner. Dickerson immediately shouting his displeasures with Travis Robertson, and he has just been ejected from the ball game. That's the first time Quad Cities has had a player ejected this season. Dickerson going back towards Robertson as Brooks Conrad races in to argue. The rain starts falling, and oh boy, we'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Welcome you back to Dozer Park here in Peoria, Illinois. We are beginning the bottom of the sixth inning. The rain has slowed down a little bit after an initial scare as Ryan Ramsey has entered for Quad Cities. No crowd mic for you right now, just as we get things dried off and make sure I'm not financially responsible for any equipment that I don't own. Here's the 0-1 to Aya Desernia, called strike low outside corner, nothing in two. Well, Dustin Dickerson ejected by home plate umpire Travis Robertson, arguing balls and strikes at the end of the last inning. So Jack Pineda has moved to short. Davies Nadal has come in to play third base, where Pineda began the game. 0-2 to Aya Desernia, just low and outside. Nice pitch from Ramsey, just off the plate. This cell that's passing over looks like it's going to be pretty quick, but there was quite a bit of rain falling for a very short amount of time. Ramsey tries again, 1-2. Fouled back to the screen. Aya Desernia, a fly ball to center field in the second, and then an RBI ground out in the fourth. That swing gave the Chiefs their 2-1 lead. They now lead 4-1 after scoring two in the next inning. The lefty Ramsey's 1-2 pitch. Chopped on the ground, foul to the right side over towards the Peoria bullpen. Ryan Ramsey's been terrific for Quad Cities this season, whether he's been pitching as a starter or as he's doing tonight as a piggyback. He is always giving Quad Cities a productive night, it seems. He is 1-2 with a 2.90 ERA this year. Correction, a 2.29 ERA. 44 strikeouts and just under 40 innings. 1-2 to Aya Desernia, bouncing in front of the plate for ball two. And once again, the rain starting to fall a little more intensely, I should say. But again, the cell should move over pretty quickly. Ramsey's 2-2. Line drive into left field. Aya Desernia wins the battle. Nivens picks it up and fires it in towards second, but not before Aya DeCernia has got his first hit of the ball game. I think Ramsey left the off-speed pitch up just a touch, and Aya DeCernia didn't miss it. Rain falling without much wind, although there is a bit of a breeze now starting to blow in from left field. A right-handed hitting. Michael Curiale at the plate. Ramsey's pitch to him. Low and inside for ball one. Curiale 0 for 2. A fly ball to center field his first time up. A bounce out to short in the fourth. Both of those at-bats against Henry Williams, Quad City starter. 1-0. Way too high. Ball two. The final line for Williams. He goes 5 innings. Gives up 4 runs. 3 earned. On 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Curiale in the driver's seat. Ramsey looks over to first. Now the 2-1 is inside, and it caught a piece of the hitter. Curiale has it graze his left arm. Jensen still caught the baseball, but a clear ricochet. And now the Chiefs with runners at first and second with nobody out. I was mentioning it during the pregame show. Peoria, overall this year, has not been a terrific offensive team, but over the last month, they've been the best offense in the Midwest League. 105 runs scored in the month of June to pace the circuit. Now Ramsey left on left against Tovalin, and he spikes a fastball down and away, clearly having some issues with his grip as the rain continues to fall. Chiefs up 4-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning. Aya DeCernia singled. He's at second. Curiale just hit by a pitch. He's at first. Tovalin 2 for 2 with a pair of singles tonight. Rammers 1-0. Fastball taken for a strike on the outer half. It's 1-1. Last time we saw Ramsey, he worked one of his piggybacks against Great Lakes back on the 18th. Gave up just 1 unearned run in 5 innings. He only allowed 2 hits and didn't walk anybody. 1-1. Breaking ball. Bounced up towards the middle. Johnson, the second baseman, slides, stops it, gets the out at second base on the second effort. Pineda there to complete the 4-6, retiring Curiale. Tovalin safe at first on a fielder's choice. Tough play for Johnson. He had to range quite a ways. Made the sliding attempt to kind of help knock it down if the glove didn't stop it. And although he didn't initially pick it cleanly, he had enough time to recover and get the out. So now men at the corners for Trey Richardson, left on right. He squares to bunt, puts it down in front of home. Ramsey charges, slips on the grass, picks it up, and has no throw. It's going to be an RBI for Trey Richardson and a 5-1 lead for the Chiefs. That was not a great bunt. It was right back towards the mound, but as Ramsey tried to slow down and simultaneously picked up the baseball, he slipped on the wet grass, and there was no play to be had anywhere. So I believe that'll be an infield single for Richardson. It'll be the Chiefs' 8th hit of the game. They have now scored in 3 straight innings to take a 5-1 lead, as Aya DeCernia has played it. Tovalin now at second, as Baez swings to the first pitch. It was in the dirt. Baez 1 for 2, a single and a run scored back in the 5th. Struck out against Henry Williams in the 3rd. Rain slowing, wind now picking up. 0-1, Tapper foul to the left side. It's strike 2. Just a brief squall making its way through Peoria. We've seen some pretty large raindrops, and it's just kind of shown up here and there in varying spurts of intensity. But right now, it's the wind that has become a factor all of a sudden. It's blowing heavily across the diamond. Ramsey's 0-2. Fouled over the first base side. We'll do it again. Ryan, 23 years old, from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Went to high school in New Jersey. Stands at 6 feet, 195 pounds. A 13th round pick by the Royals 2 years ago. 0-2 to Baez. High fly ball, left center field. The shortstop Pineda eyeing it. Rockefeller sprinting in from center, and it's Jack who makes the grab in the grass for the out number two. What a tremendous catch by Jack Pineda. That angle in and of itself was challenging, but then you factor in the wind whipping the baseball. But as we've talked about many a time this year, Pineda is a natural shortstop. Plays like that are just second nature to him. So two down, but still two on for the Chiefs. Runners at first and second and two outs for Wonbin Cho. He's got two walks and a strikeout today. Left on left, first pitch down and away. Great pick by Jensen. He saved it from going to the backstop. If you're just joining us here on the River Bandits Baseball Network, no crowd mic at the moment because of the rain situation. It would cause quite a bit of water to hit the electrical equipment. We wouldn't want that. 1-0. Down and away, ball two. Wow, the rain has really picked up once again. It's just on and off. And now it's coming down about as hard as we've seen tonight. Ramsey with the 2-0. Outside for ball three. And clearly, Ramsey's had some issues getting a grip on the baseball. He's looked down at his fingers numerous times. And boy, just sheets of rain coming down now. Holy cow, 3-0. That's down the middle, a called strike. I cannot imagine trying to pitch or hit in these conditions right now. A couple members of Quad City's bench still hanging around at the top of the dugout, but the vast majority of them have retreated under the ceiling, or the roof, I should say. The first base side for Peoria, there is nobody visible in the dugout. They're all taking cover. Ramsey's 3-1 to Cho. Wave and a miss. A 75% swing as he either tried to hold up or never really committed. And it's a full count. Rain still falling here in Dozier Park. 5-1 lead for the Chiefs, who have scored in three straight innings to take a four-run lead. Runners at first and second will get a head start with two outs in the full count. Ramsey pauses at the belt, kicks, fires, and it's outside for ball four. He'll lose him. So that pushes Toveline up to third base, Richardson to second, and Cho down to first. He's got himself a three-walk game. And for the third time tonight, the inning is going to be extended for Dakota Harris. He is swinging as hot of a bat as anyone right now. Entered action batting an even 300 with 8 home runs and 30 RBIs. Tonight he is 2-for-3 with a double and 3 RBIs. Meeting on the mound for Quad Cities, Derek Lewis has convened the entire infield plus the battery. The rain starting to slow again, just small drops being lit up by the lights as they head towards the outfield. But there is a little bit of puddle action starting to form in front of the first base dugout and down by Quad City's bullpen. Hopefully this thing blows over in its entirety soon. Meeting on the mound over. Chiefs have the bases loaded with two outs. Dakota Harris hitting. Ramsey's first pitch. Breaking ball finds the top of the zone for a called strike. Chiefs have brought 7 batters to the plate in each of the last 2 innings. 0-1. Scooped in the air towards shallow center. The second baseman, Johnson, is there. He'll make the catch and end the inning. The Chiefs do get one, but it could have been a lot worse. Ramsey strands the bases loaded, and we go to the top of the 7th. Quad Cities stepping back to the plate. They trail 5-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Well, the rain has certainly impacted us tonight here at Dozier Park, but just taking a look at the radar, it seems we've missed the worst of it. A pretty significant cell is just north of here, making its way through northern Peoria, and we at Dozier Park have been pretty lucky, even though it's a tad wet. We start the top of the seventh, Bandits down 5-1. Tyler Brott is back to the hill for Peoria, working in relief of their starter Inohan Paniagua. The final line on him, 5 innings, 1 run on 5 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. 1-0 pitch to Chris Brito is fouled over the right side for strike one. Bandits have 8-9-1 due up. Remember, Dickerson made the last out in the away half of the sixth and was ejected by Travis Robertson, arguing balls and strikes. 1-1 to Brito, high for ball two. Brott did exactly what Patrick Anderson needed him to do. Paniagua gave up back-to-back base runners to start the frame. Here's the 2-1. Slider finds the inner half, a called strike two. And then Brott comes in, gets Rockefeller to pop up, and then strikes out both Nivens and Dickerson looking. 2-2. Called strike three, perfectly painted on the low inside corner. That is now 3 straight backwards Ks for Tyler Brott. Wow. Brott entering the ballgame with a 5.32 ERA and just over 1 strikeout per 9 innings. But he has looked phenomenal today. So now the 9-hole hitter, Justin Johnson, gets a chance, and he'll take a slider right down the middle. Boy, it is just so dark looking out beyond left and right field right now. We are right on the edge of something pretty nasty. Here's the 0-1. Fastball outside. A couple of times, I wouldn't have been shocked if the umpires had said, hey, throw the tarp on the field, but both Evan and Travis have let us keep going today, knowing the cell's pretty short on this side of things. 1-1 swing from Johnson, a good cut, but he fouls it into the screen for strike two. Bandits down 5-1 in the top of the seventh inning. The vast majority of the fans here at Dozier Park are still underneath the second level on the concourse. The 1-2. Called strike three, low outside corner. Tyler Brott is on cruise control. That is 4 straight strikeouts, and they have all been looking. Utter dominance for the right-hander. So now, here is Jack Pineda, the leadoff man. He extended the on-base streak and the hit streak with a single in the fifth inning. He is 1-for-2 in the ballgame, or 1-for-3, rather. The pitch to him. Inside, he leans out of the way for ball one. Pineda, 24 years old, from Sierra Vista, Arizona, but raised in New Mexico. 1-0. Low, 2 balls and no strikes. Brott's come in. He's thrown 21 pitches, and 14 have gone for a strike. His 4 strikeouts tonight, a season high. 2-0 to Pineda. High and away with a fastball, ball three. Hoping to get the crowd mic back out the window here soon. Again, just playing it safe with the wind and the rain. 3-0 delivery. Right down the middle, a called strike one. Bandits down 5-1 here in the top of the seventh inning. Brott looking for a clean frame. It'd be a second in a row. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Got the fastball by him again, and it's a full count. Brott has really not mixed in anything else aside from the fastball, and it's worked for him. Have to imagine he goes back to it here in the full count. Payoff pitch to Jack Pineda. That's high, ball four. So the inning not over yet for Quad Cities. Jack will trot down to first base. And the Bandits will extend the frame for one of their hottest hitters, Jared Dickey. He's 1-for-3, but as I mentioned, when he bounced into a double play in the fifth inning, he didn't bounce. He hit a worm burner up the middle. Harris was just at the right place at the right time. Right on left, Brott fires in and missed outside with that heater. Dickey, a former Tennessee Volunteer, 22-year-old from Hermitage, Tennessee. An 11th round pick by the Royals back in 2023. Pineda held at first by Toveline. A long walk from Brott. 1-0 fouled over the left side for strike one. Let's get you some updates from around the Midwest League and the Kansas City Royals farm system as we make our way later into the evening. Right at 8:30 Central Time here in Peoria. Brott's 1-1. Fastball just outside for ball two. Only one game's gone final in the Midwest League tonight. It's over in Eastlake, Ohio, where the Eastern Division champs in the first half, the Lake County Captains, beat Great Lakes 8-3 at Classic Auto Group Park. 2-1. Off the hands, line softly towards short. Harris plays the tough hop, sets his feet, throws to first, and it's dug out by Toveline to end the inning. Dakota Harris with another great play to take away a hit from Jared Dickey. Kind of an awkward spinning liner, but Harris handles it, and that'll do it for Quad Cities in the seventh. Time to stretch at Dozer Park. It's 5-1 Chiefs on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Back for the bottom of the seventh at Dozer Park, Kyle Kercheval joining you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Chiefs up 5-1 as Ryan Ramsey goes back to the hill for QC and gets Leonardo Bernal swinging at the first pitch to open up the inning. Bernal, Rotondo, Iadesurnia due up, 0-1, dropped right down the middle with the changeup. Bernal has been much better against lefties than righties this year, hitting .333 against southpaws, just .236 against right-handers. 0-2 in the dirt for ball one. But against the righty Williams, he was solid. 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, and nothing else. The pitch just tapped foul. Bernal's been on base twice today, but he has yet to score. That said, the Chiefs have plated runs in each of the last three innings to take this 5-1 lead. For a brief moment in time, it was Quad Cities up 1-0 in the top of the fourth, but it's been all Peoria since. The pitch. Fastball up, couldn't get him to chase. Ramsey, the former Terrapin, has thrown an inning out of the bullpen, given up a run on two hits, one walk, and no strikeouts. 2-2, up and away, full count. Ramsey, the only man to work out of the bullpen for Quad Cities thus far. His payoff pitch is high and outside. He lost him for ball four. Now, this has been an uncharacteristic performance for Ramsey thus far. He's had some instances this year where he's issued some big walk games, but he is generally very much somebody who lives in the strike zone. An inning ago, he was having issues with the rain falling in his grip, but no rain at the moment. First pitch to Rotondo is a called strike one. Last week, it was Quad Cities working all the walks to propel its offense, and to start this series, it's been the Chiefs. 0-1, right-handed batter takes a hack but comes up empty. The pitch was around the hands, and it's strike two. Chiefs have swung it well today, but Rotondo 0-for-3 in the cleanup spot. Bernal at first, held on by Trevor Werner. Here's the 0-2. Fisted to the right side, and that's into right field for a hit. Stopping at second, Bernal, as the Bandits' defensive shift costs them a Rotondo single. Bandits had completely vacated that side of the field, and Rotondo basically inside outs one off the hands right to where Johnson would have been if the second baseman was in his usual spot. So the Chiefs, once again, with some traffic. First and second, nobody out. And the left-handed bat of Alex Iadesurnia in the box. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Big hack at the fastball, nothing in one. Just a reminder, Dustin Dickerson was ejected back in the sixth inning. He was the starting shortstop for QC. Jack Pineda is now at short, while Nadal is at third base. 0-1. Breaking ball hit towards center field. Rockefeller, playing the wind, makes the catch on the liner and tosses it back in towards Jack after recording the first out. A much-needed out number one for Ryan Ramsey. Now, taking a look at the radar, it looks like the folks up in the Quad Cities are getting some crazy weather as well. If you're tuning in from Davenport or anywhere in the QC area tonight, we hope you're safe, and we appreciate you tuning in and riding out the storm with us. I can't say it's much better here in Peoria at the moment. Here's Michael Curiali. Swing and a miss. Change up off the low outside corner. The last week of weather has been pretty wild. Just what you expect in the Midwest, but never makes it any simpler. Ramsey's 0-1. Swing and a miss. Another good slider, and it's no balls, two strikes. Now, this looks more like Ryan Ramsey attacking hitters in the strike zone. Curiali is hitless today, but he was hit by a pitch in the sixth inning by Ramsey. Here comes the lefty's 0-2. High and outside. And now the rain's starting to fall a little more hard now. Fans still taking cover on the concourse. Those up in the suites thrilled with their purchase tonight. Ramsey looks back the runner at second. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Got him towards the top of the zone. That's the first strikeout of the game for Ramsey, and it came at a big time. So still two ducks on the pond for the Chiefs, but a much more manageable situation with two outs in a left-on-left matchup for Ramsey. Toveline, though, 2-for-3 with a pair of singles. Both of those, however, against Henry Williams. The pitch. Curveball down and outside, 1-0. Hey, let's get you back into that Midwest League scoreboard. Couple games in the ninth inning. Over in Fort Wayne, the Dayton Dragons have an 8-3 lead on the Tin Caps in the top of the ninth. And in Lansing, boy, the West Michigan Whitecaps pouring on the runs. It's 15-5, West Michigan leading the Lugnuts. 1-0, breaking ball at the top of the strike zone for a called strike. Over in Cedar Rapids, the Beloit Sky Carp have a 7-1 lead on the Colonels And in Wisconsin, the Cubs lead the Timber Rattlers 6-1. They're in the middle of the seventh. 1-1 pitch. Foul back to the screen. A fastball about belt high. And it's strike two. Tovalin will use a timeout. Did he break his bat? He must have. Tovalin shaking out his right hand. Must have had one buzz him a bit. And no, he's just going to go for the pine tar. Understandable given the wet conditions right now. Chiefs with a 5-1 lead in the bottom of the seventh inning as the wind and rain and everything in between on and off here at Dozier Park. Bandits offense has been off since the fourth when they scored the game's first run. Chiefs have scored in three straight innings. Ramsey trying to stop that streak here in the seventh. Tovalin back in the box. 1-2 pitch. Chopped towards first off the glove of Werner. And it's picked up by Johnson. He's got no play anywhere. Werner trying to play a tough hop with a quasi-sliding stop to his right. It went off the top of his glove. Johnson was right there to back him up, so he stopped it from going into right field. But Tovalin is going to reach again. Bernal advances to third. Rotondo to second. And the Chiefs have loaded the bases for the third straight inning. They're all full for Trey Richardson. Left on right, Ramsey's pitch. Low and inside for ball one. They are going to give a single to Tovalin. So he's got a 3-for-4 ball game. Chiefs now with 5 runs on 10 hits as the rain has once again started to fall significantly. 1-0. Bouncer back up the middle. Past the diving Johnson into the outfield. 2 runs are going to score. Peoria now up 7-1 on a 2-run single from Trey Richardson. He's got a 3-RBI game. The 2-out offense tonight has been unbelievable for Peoria. They have seemingly taken advantage of every extra opportunity they've gotten. And it's been the bane of the Bandits' existence tonight. Now for the third straight inning, not only have the Chiefs loaded the bases at a point in this frame, but they will bring their 7th batter of the inning up. It's Joshua Baez, left on right against Rammer. Lefty's first pitch. That's hit deep to left field. Nivens is back. The wind blowing it towards the infield. Spencer slides, and he can't make the catch. 2 runs are going to score. That's actually 1 run, and it should be an RBI double for Baez. Holy cow, look at Mother Nature on that one. Baez looked like he had a bomb onto the berm, and instead Nivens came sprinting in and had to dive to try to make the catch. He couldn't haul it in. Smart play by Carter Jensen. He's going to go out and try to calm down Ramsey, who has got to be just exasperated right now. We can't get anything to go his way. Baez safe at second with his 2nd hit of the game and his 5th double of the year. And go ahead and give him RBI number 25. Now here's Cho again. Left on left, the leadoff man sends one towards left. Let's see what happens this time. Nivens playing the rain and the wind. He makes the catch and ends the frame. But boy, Peoria now on top 8-1. And the 2-out offense just remains relentless, as does the rain. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Well, Mother Nature has got us again, folks. They've followed us from Midland, Michigan to Peoria, Illinois, as we've entered a rain delay in the top of the eighth inning. This is probably the most consistent rain we've seen as it's been following over the last few innings. It's 8-1 Chiefs. Peoria has scored in each of the last four innings, including a three spot against Ryan Ramsey in the last half frame. Tarp going on the field. The rain is falling. There is a huge cell north of us, which apparently is kind of venturing into our territory here downtown. Got to give a tip of the cap to the grounds crew here at Peoria. The tarp cannot be an easy thing to handle right now. There is so much wind and so much rain. It's just one of those situations that's always a bit dangerous, but they're handling it very well at the moment, and we hope it remains that way. No timetable for when we get back in action tonight. We have played enough innings for this to count as a full game should we need to end it. It is, though, early in the week, and theoretically you could pick up a suspended contest later, but with it being an 8-1 game in the eighth, I would be surprised if that happened. Stick and stay with us on the River Bandits Baseball Network, and of course, keep your tabs on the River Bandits social media platforms, specifically X, and we will keep you updated if we learn anything new. But right now, another weather delay. We are stuck in. This time it's at Tozer Park in Peoria. And again, if you're in the Quad Cities area experiencing some crazy rain and weather yourself right now, we wish you a safe evening, and we hope that everything passes smoothly and quickly, and we can get back to baseball or whatever you have on the docket tonight. Rain falling considerably at Dozer Park. We're in a rain delay at the top of the eighth. Chiefs up 8-1 over Quad Cities. Hope to be back with you shortly with more information.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing,
availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Is the Royals Minor League Report presented by Raising Royals, AAA Omaha.
The Omaha Storm Chasers welcome the Louisville Bats to Warner Park to wrap up the first half, and the week started on a high note. A 9-4 win over the Reds AAA affiliate in the series opener Tuesday clinched the International League first half title for the Storm Chasers. First pitch from Klein to Marte on the way. Fly to the air to right field. Tyler Gentry camped under the ball. He makes the catch, and that's the ball game. The Omaha Storm Chasers win their sixth consecutive ball game. And for the first time in 10 years, the Storm Chasers are playoff bound. Winners of the International League first half title, the Chasers will host the International League Championship Series here at Warner Park in September. After Tuesday's win and a 7-1 victory Wednesday to bring the Chasers to a seven-game winning streak, the Bats won the next three, putting the Chasers in danger of just their second series loss all season headed into Sunday. The consecutive losses were all close games, including a 5-4 defeat in 10 innings Saturday, but part of why the games have stayed close is a stellar bullpen, as Omaha's relievers have combined for a scoreless effort in five of the team's last nine games. And at the plate, it's been a big week for Nick Prado, fresh off being optioned to AAA last weekend. Over the first five games of the series, Prado went 8-for-20 with the team-best three homers and eight runs batted in, while Tyler Gentry was 7-for-16 through Saturday's action with a pair of home runs to double his season total in long balls from 2-4. Minor League Baseball's winningest team looks to keep up the success as the second half opens Tuesday on the road against the Columbus Clippers, Omaha's final meeting this year with Cleveland's AAA affiliate. At Warner Park for the Omaha Storm Chasers, I'm Nick Batters.
AA Northwest Arkansas.
NWA posted a 3-10 record versus Tulsa leading up to the last week of the first half, but the Naturals turned the tide this time around. After dropping the first two games of the week, the Naturals scored a 5-4 walk-off win in the third game of the series, thanks to Tyler Tolbert's ninth-inning heroics with a game-winning single. Luinder Avila had a career night the following evening. The 22-year-old righty lit up the strike zone, tying a career high with 9 strikeouts, while also tying his career high with 7 innings of work. NWA tossed their 7th shutout of the year that's tied for the league lead, while KLM Schaaf hit his first double-A homer in the 5-0 win. Saturday was hotly contested. The Naturals took a first-inning lead thanks to a bases-loaded walk, but Tulsa homered in the 2nd and 6th innings to take the lead. NWA scored 2 runs with 2 outs in the 7th to take a 3-2 advantage, and Tulsa put the tying run on in the 9th, but Anderson Paulino slammed the door for his 8th save in the Naturals' 3rd straight win.
Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Got him on a breaking ball, low and away, and that's 3 straight. Naturals put it in the left-hand column on a Saturday night.
The first half ends with Sunday series finale before the Naturals start the second half on the road with a 6-game set in Wichita, Kansas, against the Minnesota Twins AA affiliate, the Wichita Wind Surge. At Arvis Ballpark in Springdale, Arkansas, with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, I'm Sean Murner.
High A Quad Cities.
The Quad Cities River Bandits finished the first half on a win streak, beating the Great Lakes Loons in each of their first three games at Dow Diamond. And with Friday's rainout and Saturday's loss, need just one victory in Sunday's doubleheader. header for their first series win since April. At the plate, Quad Cities only recorded 5 extra base hits through their first 4 games of the series, but it's been timeliness over pop, with the club hitting just under 300 with runners in scoring position. And while Jack Pineda, Jared Dickey, and Carson Rockefort have gone over the fence this week, the likes of Dustin Dickerson and Brett Squires have been very successful within the yard, especially Squires, who not only leads the league in hitting this month, batting .359, but with Wednesday and Thursday's 2-knock efforts, now has 24 multi-hit games. That's 6 more than games in which Squires has gone hitless this year. On the mound, Quad Cities has started to look more like its April self, posting a league-best .91 whip through Saturday. Steven Zoback helped in that effort Wednesday, and despite his 14-inning shutout streak coming to an end, the right-hander struck out a career-high 8 while not allowing a walk for the third straight start. Ultimately, though, no one helped more than Hunter Owen, who allowed just 3 total base runners over 7 scoreless innings in Thursday's shutout win. The outing was the Bandits' first of 7 innings this season and ranks the Southpaw top 10 in the league in wins, ERA, whip, and opponent batting average. The River Bandits begin the second leg of their 2-week road trip Tuesday in Peoria with the first of 6 against the Chiefs. With the Quad Cities River Bandits, I'm Kyle Kercheval.
Single A, Columbia.
The Fireflies have had a rough go of it against the Carolina Mudcats as they transition to the second half of the season. But that doesn't mean that this week hasn't been without its fair share of fanfare.
Hi again, everybody. Kyle Kercheval checking back in with you from Dozer Park. No immediate update as of this moment, but the only update that matters is that the tarp is no longer on the field, and that was not by design. The wind and rain have basically thrown it off towards the first base side, and it is raining cats, dogs, and every other animal you can think of, and the wind is absolutely howling. There's no chance we get the rest of this game in tonight, and now tomorrow a bit of a concern as well. It literally looks like a lake on the left side of the infield right now, so no official word as of this moment, but there is no chance we continue this game tonight. Once we have more information regarding if there's a continuation or just the game is called after 8, we'll be sure to let you know. But there is not a chance we are going to finish this game tonight. So stick and stay with us for more information as it becomes available. But it does not take a general manager to judge this situation right now and make a decision. So we'll keep you posted. Stick and stay with us on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to... Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.